Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of John, John 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not sheep of this pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is the command I receive from my Father." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today on this fourth Sunday of Easter, we shift from looking at the historical events surrounding the resurrection, the empty tomb, Jesus coming and meeting his disciples, doubting Thomas. And we now begin to wonder what that means for us. Who was Jesus? And what is his importance in our lives? The story we read this morning is a familiar one to many of us, that Jesus is our good shepherd, and that he loves and cares for us. When I was in high school and in college, I used to teach Sunday school. I taught first and second grade, and I remember teaching this story to my students. And we had little figurines of Jesus and the sheep, and I would show how Jesus would lead the sheep out to still waters, that he would protect them from the wolves and the thieves, and that if ever a sheep went lost, Jesus would leave the rest of the flock safe and sound, and he would go out and find that one lost sheep and carry him home. My students used to be captivated by this story, that Jesus loved and cared for us, and that he would protect us from all those big, bad wolves out there. And as a young adult, as a child myself, I was so comforted by this idea that God was on my side, that he loved me, that he would take care of me. As an adult, my understanding of this story has deepened, and I see now that Jesus wasn't just claiming to be like a good shepherd. He was claiming to be the one and only good shepherd. When I put myself in the shoes of those who would have stood with Jesus, listening to him tell this story, I am shocked at what Jesus was really communicating. In Hebrew tradition, there was a rich history of God calling himself the Good Shepherd. And those listening to Jesus would have heard that Jesus himself was claiming to be God. Think of all the places in the Jewish Bible, our Old Testament, where sheep and shepherds are talked about. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." In Psalm 79, the Israelites were reminded that they were God's people and the sheep of his pasture. And in Ezekiel 34, God says, "I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. I myself will be their shepherd, and I will make them lie down." For those standing there with Jesus, they would have heard Jesus putting himself in God's shoes, claiming to be the one and only good shepherd that loves and cares for them like God loves and cares for them. Those standing there with Jesus understood Jesus was claiming to be God. And you can tell it by their response. When Jesus finishes telling this story, the people weren't confused. They didn't ask questions. They weren't reassured by a happy story of a shepherd caring for their sheep. They picked up stones and went to kill Jesus because it was blasphemy to equate oneself to God. This story has such richness to us, that God does love and care for us, that he does provide and protect us. But it also shows us who Jesus is and the great depth of relationship between God the Father and God the Son. In reading this text this week, though, something new jumped out at me, something I hadn't seen before. Has that ever happened to you, reading through a passage that you know and love, and then God just gives you a new insight? There was one verse here that stood out to where we are as a church and what God is calling us to do. And I want to share that with you and offer some observations of where I think God is calling us today as we meditate on this story of Jesus as our Good Shepherd. It was verse 16 that stood out. Let me reread it to you, then we can talk about it a bit. Jesus says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." How neat is that? That Jesus has other sheep out there that might look like us, and they might look completely different than us, but that Jesus is still gathering his flock together. I think this idea has a lot to offer us and really can spur us on as a congregation. The first thing that sticks out to me in this verse is that Jesus is continuing to gather his sheep to him, that he's still doing that work of being the Good Shepherd, that there are other people outside of this room that Jesus loves and that belongs to him and that he wants to be a part of his flock. Christ has been calling his people together for the last 2,000 years. People from every nation, age, nationality, social class, persuasion. Christ has been out there seeking out his flock and bringing us together as one. Could you imagine what would have happened if Jesus had his 12 disciples and said, "All right, good enough, I'm done," and stopped right there? None of us would know the joy and the peace and the security that we have today if Christ has said, "These 12 are good enough. I don't need any more sheep." But that's not what he says. He says he has sheep that aren't of this sheep pen, and he must go out and find them. What a gift that is to us and to the entire world. Christ is our persistent shepherd who's seeking out each and every lost soul and bringing them into his pen. The second observation I have for us is that while God is gathering his sheep together, we don't know for sure who's in that sheep pen. We don't know for sure who belongs to God's flock. And for me, that's great news. I have people in my life that I love and care for that don't know Jesus, and it breaks my heart because I want them to know the love and security and joy that I know. I would imagine that all of us here have people in our lives that we care for, that we want to know God, our Heavenly Father, to have eternal salvation with us, and we long for their souls. Children or grandchildren who have lost interest in church and just don't want to come anymore. Husbands and wives who don't want to be bothered getting up on a Sunday morning. Friends and family who've never shown interest in church and don't understand why this is so important to us. My heart breaks for these people. God's heart breaks for these people. And I take hope in the fact that God is still gathering his flock and that we might not know who's in it, but God does. And he's going to do everything he can to bring his sheep together. Jesus tells us in this same story that he is the gate and that whoever enters through him will be saved. But Jesus isn't a mean and cruel gatekeeper trying to hold all the sheep out. He's a gentle and loving one who goes and seeks out the lost, gives every opportunity for people to know him and to know our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the gatekeeper who's seeking those who are out there. And while we don't know who's a part of God's flock, Jesus does. And he is finding his sheep. Christ is our one true good shepherd. And we know that even if just one soul is lost, he goes after them. And I take hope in that for those that I love, those that you love, those out there in the world who have never heard of the joy of Christ, that Jesus is still seeking them out. And finally, while Christ is seeking out the lost, he invites us to be a part of that work. This image of sheep and shepherds shows up again in the book of John at the very end, where Jesus, the resurrected man, stands before Peter and asks him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep." Jesus asks again, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs." A third time, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Then feed my sheep." Jesus is our one true good shepherd, and he is out there doing the work of caring for his people, protecting his flock, seeking out the lost. But he invites us to be a part of it, to help build his church, to care for the poor and the needy, to nurse the needs of the lame and the hurt, to seek out those lost sheep and show them God's love. And it is a privilege to be a part of this work. I've been so proud of our church and our willingness to do this. I've been so inspired by our courage in reaching out, our bravery in opening ourselves up, and trying to love the people God has put in our world. Think of Piece of Bread, where we literally feed 150 of God's sheep each and every week, where we get to spend time with them, hearing their stories, offering ourselves, showing them God's love, spending time in Bible study with them, talking about our faith and our own needs and wants in this life. Think of the yard sale just last week. Yes, it was a great opportunity to clean out your closets and make some room in your attics. But it was also an opportunity for us to reach out to our community, to be loving and welcoming, to have conversations, help people feel safe in this place. The Easter festival just a couple of weeks ago, the opportunity to share the story of Christ's life, death, and resurrection, to celebrate the joy of the Lord together, to help people see this building as part of their community. It may seem like a small thing, but it is not. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that coming in for a piece of bread or coming in for something like the yard sale was the first time they'd ever been in a church before. And they were a little nervous. And they'll ask kind of bashfully if it would be okay for them to look into the sanctuary because they've never seen a sanctuary before. Helping people feel like they belong here, that God's house is their house, that there are people in this place that love and care for them, with no need of anything in return. They're small steps, but they are important ones. And we play an important role in God's kingdom. Christ is building his flock, seeking out the lost, and we get to be a part of that work. So let me ask, who are the lost sheep in our lives? Who are the lost sheep that you know that need the love of God? Is it somebody at work that is going through a tough time? Maybe teenagers in our community that really could care less about church? A senior, neighbor, somebody homebound that needs a little extra love and attention? Somebody living paycheck to paycheck or struggling with physical or emotional pain? Who are the lost sheep that God has put in your life for you to love and care for? How can you show God's love to them? Think about it. What's something that you can do this week to care for the lost sheep? Can you pray for those who don't know Christ? Can you help them feel welcome in God's house here? Can you send a note, make a phone call to somebody that might be lonely or having a hard time? Is God putting on your heart that it's time to invite somebody to come to church and experience what it means to be a part of God's family? What can you do to care for God's sheep? Today we remember that Christ is still at work putting together his flock, and that we are invited to take part in that work. It's not for us to know who he has chosen to be a part of his family, but we do know that we have been chosen to love the lost. Christ is our good shepherd who loves us more than we ever can know or imagine. He wants to share that love with others. Today, we are invited into that work, and it is a privilege to be a part of God's family. Please join me in prayer. Shepherding God, come close to us now. Come near to us in our time of need. Shepherding God, we need you in times of anxiety, in times of financial difficulty, in times of disease and disaster. We need you to bind our wounds and pour your healing ointment on our heads. We need you to pick the briars and the brambles and the burrs out of our coats and to protect us for the things that threaten. Shepherding God, you guide us with your voice. Help us to listen and to follow no matter where you lead. Shepherding God, we thank you for your Son, who's laid down his life for those who follow him and those who are yet to follow. Lord, we pray for those who don't know the shepherd. We pray that by our actions and our behavior and our reaching out, that they may come to know you. Shepherding God, today we ask that you would strengthen us with your Spirit, guide us with your love, renew us with your peace. In your name we pray. Amen.